already in his presence as we pray and go into the word. Heavenly Father, we ask you for fresh mercy. So come to your presence. We don't come presumptuously. Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand and I ask you for mercy. Lord, if you don't help, there is nothing we can do. And so I put all of my confidence in you, Lord, and in your mercy and unction that is able to, Lord, use the preparation and the covering that is in the air to bring forth a word of life, a word of encouragement, a word that will strengthen us in the path of righteousness. Help me, Lord, that as I speak, I will speak as an oracle of God. Lord, in humility, in purity, in clarity, and in power, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. So your word will go forth, Lord, into all of our hearts, including my own, to do an eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we can walk, Lord, in the reality of the things that we learn and not be hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because as your word goes forth, you will break yokes over our lives. Stagnancy, Lord, will be broken over our lives in the name of Jesus. Procrastination will be broken in the name of Jesus. And you will help us, Lord, to be proactive. Lord, to walk in the way of life and to keep walking until we see your promise fulfilled in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let yokes be broken. Blind eyes be open. Lord, deaf ears be unstopped. The lame leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb to sing for joy and gladness in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy. Help me to be concise, to be precise, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, saying only those things that you would have me say. Bringing forth, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, things new and old out of the treasure of your word, helping us, Lord, to our eyes to be fixed on you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing more than we can ask. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the privilege to be in God's presence. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said I should go to the house of the Lord. And we're trusting God to touch our hearts again today. This is our School of the Spirit meeting. And today, God has given me a word so graciously entitled, Mercy to Walk Wisely with God. God is wisdom personified. So if you want to walk wisely in these days, you need to walk with God. And it takes the mercy of God to be able to walk wisely with God. Hence the title. Now God in his word instructs us to get wisdom, because the Bible shows us that wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main part of divine love. And it brings with it understanding. Okay, so you know you have wisdom, you have understanding, you have knowledge. Look at Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 in the Amplified Bible, firstly. There's Proverbs 24, 3 to 4. Through wisdom, no, Amplified, thank you. All right, Amplified Bible. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house. Now, what is the house? It's talking now a life, a home, a family, or a business, anything, is built through wisdom. And by understanding, it is established. So without wisdom, it doesn't exist. Without understanding, it exists, but it's not established. And without knowledge, it exists, is established, but it's empty. So you need all three. But the person leading is wisdom. Now look at the NIV. Okay, thank you. And by knowledge, I shall be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Now, I want to go make a point. Go to the NIV, thank you. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is what? Established. Okay, next verse. Thank you. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Our life is being built by God. Bible says, Psalm 102, verse 16, that's where I was quoting that yesterday after prayers, we're praying for the Nigerian church, that the Lord is building up Zion so that he can appear in his glory. Okay? So God is building, he's building, but he's not just building Zion corporate, he's building Zion individual. And he's saying that your life and my life is supposed to be full of the treasures of the wisdom of God. That's the ultimate. But we're going to get there by walking with wisdom and being established with understanding. Because once wisdom is leading, every other person lines up and follows. So the person you really need to take on to is wisdom. Bible says, wisdom is your sister. Understanding is your kinswoman. Amen. That's the wisdom of God, okay? So, wisdom is first in the ways of God and brings understanding and knowledge to fulfill their roles in our lives. But let's look at Proverbs 8 as well, 20 and 21, just quickly. Just leading the foundation. I, wisdom. If you look at verse 12, it's talking about wisdom, but we're looking at verse 20. But I lead in the way of righteousness or love in the midst of the paths of judgment. Next verse. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. What did he say was going to give us? When you have knowledge, you will be filled with treasures. So it's in mouth of two witnesses, is showing you that wisdom is the one lead, so we can inherit substance, the substance of the love of God. So that the substance of, and when you have that substance, then God can now entrust you with the glory. That's the treasures. Okay, and that's when you begin to do things that Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. That's our destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need to walk with wisdom. That's what God is teaching us. And then in Psalm 111 verse 10, says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that what? Do his commandments. So it means that if you don't do what wisdom commands you to do, your understanding is bad. You will have an understanding, but that understanding in God's eyes will not be good. So you can't walk with understanding. You must walk with wisdom. It is when wisdom has come into a situation that she opens your eyes, and then you can see what is good understanding and what is bad understanding. Amen. That's what God is trying to help us to understand. Okay? Right. So, it's important to hold fast to wisdom and not ignore her voice. Okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, 3. King James. Thank you. Wisdom has what? Builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Next verse. This is the scripture. And if you come to this church, you must have heard it over. It's etched in our hearts. Thank God for fathers. Let's give our fathers a super hand. Amen. Thank God. I mean, you can quote it off head. All right. She had killed her beasts. She had mingled her wine. She had also furnished her table. So wisdom is providing something. And it has cost wisdom a lot to provide what she's providing. Next verse. Next verse. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Wisdom is at the highest place of the city. Hallelujah. It's not in the lowest place. It's in the highest place. And the Bible says here, wisdom. So there is wisdom is a person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So we know that wisdom is a person. But wisdom is also skillful, godly equipment that we need. Amen. Now, it is the person of wisdom that gives us the article of wisdom. Amen. And he gives it to us through... So, let me put it this way. Because it says wisdom has built a house. Anybody whose house is built at a more advanced stage of completion than your house can give you wisdom. We are a house. We are building our house. The person who has gotten to a place where they are painting, he can give you wisdom about decking. It makes sense. He can tell you, oh, don't use those iron rods. They don't work. Why? Because he's at an advanced stage of completion and he's ahead of you. So wisdom comes to us through sons of Issachar. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. Let's look at it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had what? Understanding of the time. So wisdom is before. Amen. To know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were their commandment. Like mommy says, not only do they know what Israel ought to do, they have the capacity and the capability to do it. Because wisdom does not come empty-handed. Look at Ecclesiastes 10:10. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Wisdom does not come empty-handed. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Look at 7:12. Same Ecclesiastes 7:12. For wisdom is a what? Defense. We are living in the days when wisdom is the defense. Sure defense. Money is not going to cut it in this day. And money is a defense, but the excellency of wisdom is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So she doesn't come empty. Anytime wisdom comes, it gives you life. And that life gives you light, because the light is in the life. Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Just says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're talking about, so wisdom gives you life. There is a strength, there is a substance that wisdom gives, and there's an illumination that wisdom gives. Gives you both. Doesn't come empty-handed. So it's important to walk with wisdom. So that wisdom, when it comes, you know, you have understanding, and then you have the capacity and the capability to do what wisdom has to do. So you're not wondering where the power is coming from. Wisdom is a complete package. You already deposited it in your hands. Amen? Amen. God is helping us. All right? So we see. So look at Proverbs chapter 4 then. Verse 5 to 9. What I want to show you here is that wisdom is something that we get progressively. Let's read it together. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. And she shall... So when you want wisdom to preserve you, what do you need to do? Forsake her not. When she's talking to you, don't turn your back. When she's talking to you, you turn. That's forsake her not. Okay? If you go the extra step to love her, what will she do? She will keep you. Next verse. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understand. Okay? Next verse. Exalt her and she will what? Promote you. Now, it's different from forsake her not. The more you begin to put wisdom in the forefront, the more she begins to give you back. So the more you give, the more you get. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible says, draw near to God. God will draw near to you. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Next verse. She shall give to thy head what? An ornament of grace. And a crown of glory shall she what? Deliver to thee. She will deliver it. Amen. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul could say that there is therefore now a crown of glory laid up for me. Look at 2 Timothy. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 4 verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous Lord, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. So it's not for Paul alone. You're going to get a crown of righteousness. Amen. You're going to get a crown of glory. You don't say amen as if you believe it. You're going to get it because you are walking with wisdom. So you know the destination. Because this man has built his house. From the house that he built, he gave us nuggets. And our fathers picked that up and used it to build their house. Then they gave it to us. And we are building our own house. And we will also give it to other people. Amen? So it's you can't escape these truths. No, there's Jesus is the pattern and the goal. This is the pattern disciple. Everybody walks this path. Amen? Amen. All right. So, amen. So we see here that our relationship with wisdom is progressive. Forsake her not, then love her, then exalt her, and then promote. Okay, so we see that. And so the first part, the part that, well, at least the first part, is not the most important because every part is important. Okay, but the first part is the part where we must not forsake her. And why is that? Because when wisdom comes, many times she doesn't make sense. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. It doesn't make natural sense with the natural mind. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Next verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. That's why when David came and told Nabal, please ask your men, when you are in the forest, we used to protect them. We used to take care of your people. Please, can you just give us something? And said, who is David? That's forsaking her. And as soon as he forsook, there was something from God coming out after him. Now, David wanted to use his own hand, and God had to get him out of the way. But eventually, Nabal died of his own foolishness. So foolishness is costly in this day. It's what God is saying. We must not be foolish. We must be wise. And we're going to be wise in Jesus' name. All right? Well, look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, and then verse 32. So it's important we can see. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Next verse. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, as a place of authority. In the city she uttereth her voice, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? We must not love simplicity. Amen. We are going to change our taste buds. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. So he's talking here about the opposite, the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold in the opposite direction. The scorner is the chief, the simple is at the beginning, and the fool is in between. We will not be like that. Simple, fool, scorner. We will not be like that in Jesus' name. We'll be wise, wiser, wisest. So as the Bible says, look at verse 32. Oh, Lord have mercy. Amen. Somebody have it, read it. It's back. Okay. Verse 32. 3-2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. 32. There. For the turning away of the simple forsaken not, shall what? Slay them. That's what slay Nabal. That's what slay Nabal. The turning of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So we see that's why it is critical to be able to compare spiritual with spiritual. When you get an idea or a thought, it's not necessarily wisdom until you run it by the word of God. Amen. Until you compare with the spirit of scripture. And do you understand what I mean? So that you know you are comparing spiritual with spiritual and praying in the spirit, so you can get the wisdom of God and not let Satan sidetrack. Because Satan knows scripture, but he doesn't have the spirit of scripture. So that's why we must compare spiritual with spiritual. Look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. It's just laying the foundation. Isaiah 8, 20. Yes, give it to me in the New International Version. This makes it very simple. New International Version. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word. So if that thing does, if it contradicts the testimony, the spirit, and the letter of the word, then don't take it. It must not contradict the character of God, which is loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. Amen? All right. All right. If it not speak on this, but they have no light of dawn. Amen. Give it to me in the Message Bible. The Message Bible, you know, can be a bit dramatic, but it does get you the sense. Okay. Okay. Tell them, no, we are going to study the scriptures. People who try the other ways get nowhere, a dead end. Okay. All right. So we see that clearly. So once we accept wisdom, she gives us insight and strength. And we must not confirm wisdom with our natural reasoning. Oh, I feel this is the wisdom of God. The feeling is not enough. You must let the word of God confirm that is the wisdom of God. And then let's give an example. Mark chapter 8, verse 29, and we see Peter here commended, being commended for having wisdom, revelation knowledge. Okay? But the fact that you have revelation knowledge doesn't mean you have wisdom. Just the fact that God spoke to you does not mean that you are now of age. And this thing happens with our young people a lot. You know, many times, the fact that you know a few things and God has spoken to you once or twice, you now think that you know more than people that are around you. The people that God has put as a safety net, both spiritual authority and natural authority. Nothing could be further from the truth. Wisdom leads in the way of righteousness. You are not the one leading. Wisdom is the one leading. And all of us need to learn that. Amen. Look at. And he said to them, verse 29, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto me, thou art the Christ. Okay, next verse. Verse 30. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Next verse. And he began to teach them. So he's moved to, they have one level of wisdom. He's now going to another level. Okay? And he says that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Next verse. And he spake that saying openly. He's crying from the chief place of the concourse, from the gates. He said it openly to everybody. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. How can you say that? Because in natural understanding, it did not make sense. You, Son of God, chief priests, Pharisees, they God forbid, bad thing. Next verse. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. It is Satan that goes ahead of God. And we need to be careful. Now, Satan here is not Satan. Of course, you know this is Peter. But he's talking about the sin nature in Peter. So we must make sure that the sin nature in us is subdued, controlled, and flushed out. Amen? So that it doesn't allow us to jump ahead and go ahead of like it did for David. When to do something good, bring back the ark of God's glory, and he went ahead of God. And it seemed to work for some time until they got to the threshing floor. All right? But then David came to himself. All right? So that's an example. Now, so after forsaking her, the next one is to love her. To love wisdom is to develop interest in it. It's to find pleasure in godly wisdom. So you now stop waiting for it to come to you. You now go out of your way to get it. And brethren, we must be doing this. You know, not just, you know, spiritually. Now, every area of our lives, we don't wait for things to come. Players that wait for the ball to come are sleeping. You know what I mean when you're watching football? The players that already, the ball is not where they are. They are already running. Well, why is he running? He's running because he's expecting the ball. He's expecting, but you know, they say he has good ball sense. You know, he's just been proactive. Stop waiting for things to come. Why don't you go to it? Because if you wait and wait and wait and wait, you are wasting time and you are losing the initiative. Because wisdom is supposed to give you and I the initiative to be ahead of the devil. So by the time the devil comes, you're not even around. You've left. I'm gone. That's the will of God for us, and that's what our portion in Jesus' name. So we move there, and then next step is to make wisdom a priority in major areas. That's to exalt her. It's a priority. So you major things, you don't do anything without wisdom. And then embrace is you don't take any step without wisdom. The small things, the big things, the intermediate things, you embrace. You know what an embrace is? You embrace. You hold on. It's intimacy. You're intimate with wisdom. You know, so everything you are always in your heart, communion, fellowship. And that's where, that's the example our fathers have set, and that's where leading us to in Jesus' name. All right, so let's look at Proverbs 24 now. Verse 30 to 34 in the Amplified. All that was just a preamble to get here. Amen. Let's read it together. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Next verse. And behold, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles were covering its face, and its stone wall was broken down. And then I beheld and considered it well. I looked and received instruction. Next verse. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Three. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Okay? And so shall your poverty come as a robber and your want as an armed man. This is not our portion in Jesus' name. But we are learning from it. Amen? Amen? Now, you know, things happen spiritually before they happen physically. So if we can preempt this from happening to us spiritually, it will never happen to us physically. That's the essence, okay? Now, that's the first thing. Now, give it to me, this portion of scripture in the Message Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. From verse 30 to 34. One day, I walked by the field of an old lazy bones, and then passed by the vineyard of a lout. A lout is somebody who's uncouth, you know, doesn't get himself, not together, okay? They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles, all the fences broken down. Next verse. I took a long look and pondered what I saw. The fields preached me a sermon, and I listened. Next verse. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there, a public holiday here, a public holiday there. Sit back. Take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Next verse. Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life. And that's what the message says. The Amplified says, robbers are going to come after you. Spiritual robbers. Poverty, spiritually, that will rob you. Lack of knowledge. When you are napping, what you are supposed to have been doing, when you are napping, the absence of that thing is going to show up. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But he's saying that it is time for us to stop relaxing. Two things were wrong with that man. First, he was lazy. Second, he lacked wisdom and understanding. He was lazy. So there is a place for spiritual strength. There's a place for spiritual diligence. And then there is a place for, after you have been diligent, to acknowledge God and ask God for wisdom. Not the same. Not the same. Two things, okay, that he had to take care of, okay? And those two things can make us a prey in these perilous times. We will not be praying in Jesus' name. That's why God wants to help us. Spiritual laziness and a lack of spiritual wisdom. That's why Mom was saying that if you want to pray for anything now, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom and make sure you're not lazy. Now, this thing did not happen suddenly. It was progressive. This man was too lazy to keep in step with wisdom. So the gap between him and wisdom was increasing. It was increasing. And ultimately, he ignored instructions for too long. Then became a prey spiritually and then, of course, physically. You get that impression now in Amos chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. When you are looking for ease and just want to rest, and you don't want to give the devil any trouble, and you don't want him to give you any trouble, you don't want to go against the tide, you don't want to go, you want easy street. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned on the wall and a serpent bit him. Next verse. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. God is trying to tell us that in this day of the Lord, we cannot afford to hold back from spiritual diligence, from the walking in spiritual wisdom. It is time to be spiritually strong, take the initiative and press in. Don't wait for things to happen. Take the initiative. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be watching and praying once every 6 hours and at every opportunity and every temptation. That positions you and I to be able to find out what is the next thing I'm supposed to be doing. So there's no gap. Because if the less gap you leave, the more promotion you get. Because wisdom promotes. And when you get to the higher level, you now need to stop just exalting her. You need to really embrace, because what got you there, you must hold on to it really closely. So that when there is no omission, you can say like the Lord Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, and you find nothing in me. That will be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what God is saying. And it's very possible. It's happened in the Old Testament, happened in the New Testament. It's going to happen to us in Jesus' name. Look at Amos 9:13. Amos 9:13. Let's read it together. Amen. This is the good news. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and they are now here, that the plowman shall what? Overtake the reaper. Initially, the reaper was ahead. But the plowman was taking the time to plow the ground, put the seed. All that time, the reaper was making progress, so to speak. But by the time the plowman came, the Bible says, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. If you have been praying in travail and plowing the ground of your heart, amen, God is trying to tell you, those that have looked as if they were reaping on the outside, your time has come. Amen. And you are going to overtake. Amen. Why? Because the days are going to change. And what they used to get by reaping, it's not going to work again. Amen. All right. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18. Another example. 1 Kings 18. 41 to 46. This is the story of Elijah and Ahab. And Elijah said unto Ahab, let's read it together. Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is what? Sound of abundance of rain. Next verse. And Ahab obeyed the instruction. He went to eat and drink as a type of the reaper. He's eating, and the Bible says they sat down to eat, they rose up to play. In some churches, in some aspects of the church, that's what people are doing spiritually. No effect, no work done spiritually. Sitting down is just a congregation to entertain. Man-centered, entertainment-based, need-oriented gospel. Rising up to play. Everything is about me, my need, what I need, which has its place, but it's not everything. And that's what Ahab was doing. Was eating and drinking. When Ahab was eating and drinking, see what the plowman went to do. Elijah went up to where? The top of Carmel. Hallelujah. Amen. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Next verse. And said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. It looked as if there is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. You're just praying, Sha. This noise you people are making. There is nothing. Next verse. And go on. And he said, go again. How many times? 7 times for completion. Amen. We keep doing it until we get the answer. Amen. We pray until something happens. Amen. But next verse. And said to someone, go up now. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Amen. Next verse. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. Hallelujah. Amen. They're talking about wind is the power of the Holy Spirit. Cloud is the apostolic teaching. Amen. The atmosphere had changed. Amen. And there was a great rain. Hallelujah. All right. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Next verse. And what? The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Hand of God is upon you. Amen. And he girded up his loins, heart attitude. Amen. And ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Who got to Jezreel first? Elijah. He overtook. The plowman overtook the reaper. That's what God, it's a very clear picture of what God is saying. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. David prayed to God at a time of great distress. Verse 8. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. David was praying to God and spoke to God and said, God, should I pursue? And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? That was how much faith David had. David's faith was, let me pursue and at least try and overtake. You know? But the energy we would have used in doing that, by the time we get there, we will be able to really fight them. Because, you know, they are stationary where they are. We are the ones expending energy to pursue and try to catch up with them. And it was God that said, and God answered him, said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake. And then the one that you don't have faith for, I will supply. That's where mercy comes in. Amen. And without fail, recover all. God is going to restore the years. All the years that we have spent praying, that we have looked as if what's happening, all those years that the locust and the caterpillar, he's going to give it back, good measure, press down, shake it together. But the key is to hold on and stay there in the place of integrity. Gird up your loins. Elijah had to gird up his loins in integrity. And then God gave him the strength supernaturally to outrun. Amen? So this is what God is doing. And you know, what really encouraged me is that when you look at all that is going on now, to the faint-hearted, you wonder what's happening. Murdering, insecurity, killing, COVID-19, this one, that one. Remember that the plowman has been praying at Good Morning Jesus prayers over 2 years ago. So all this that we are seeing now cannot overtake us. It's not possible. We are already ahead. And no, we are the ones going to now turn it around by doing the money to go 7 times. And by the time the 7 times are over, Nigeria will be the safest place upon the earth. Amen. Nigeria will be the safest. It will be the safest place. No, but it's a work in progress. And we have to hang in there and stay there with dedication and opportunity and commitment and faith to understand that no, you are not going to. This is what the word of God says, and we're going to process it until it comes to pass. All right? So that's what God is telling. Now, why is this important? Walking with God by the mercy of God. Why is it important? Instruction is not the way of life. Instruction is our life. Look at Proverbs 4, 11 to 13. You know, I used to think instruction is the way of... No, it's not. It's not. Instruction is actually our life. So if you leave instruction, you're dead. We will not die in Jesus' name. But it's important. It needs to be said. Because it is derived from the scripture. Look at it. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. Next verse. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. That's how Elijah outran Ahab and his chariots. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Amen. Embrace. That's it, sir. Message Bible. Give it to me in the Message Bible. That portion of scripture, verse from verse 11. Now, I'm writing out clear instructions to wisdom way. I'm drawing a map to righteous road. I don't want you ending up in blind alleys. There are other options. But the Bible is already telling us it's a blind alley. It doesn't lead anywhere. An alley is a dead end. Or wasting time making wrong turns. Next verse. Hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. God eats well. Your life is what? At stake. That's what God is telling us. So this is the day to walk circumspectly. It's the way to... We will live, we will not die. But we need to hold fast to wisdom. Because the days are perilous times. And what is at stake is our life. And you know, the Lord shared with me, Ahab took wicked bypass. Okay, well, the Bible, he took a wicked bypass. 1 Kings 20. I want to show you wicked bypass. Wicked bypass is omission. When you omit to do instruction, and you omit what God said you should do, you don't do it. What God showed you to do, what you know to do, you didn't do it. You are leaving an omission. Now Satan is going to plug that gap. We must not leave that gap in Jesus' name. 1 Kings chapter 20. Quickly now. You need to go quickly. Verse 13 and 14. And behold. Okay, let me give you the background. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, came against Ahab. And told Ahab, he said, all your silver, all your gold, all your wives and your children, they are mine. And Ahab said, it's okay. Ahab was willing to give it up. He said, it's okay. You can have it. You have it. He said, you know what? I've changed my mind. My servants will come. Anything that they see that you like, they will take it. That one is not enough for me. Ahab now said, see this man, oh, he's looking for my trouble. Oh. God now sent him a prophet. That's the background. Give it verse 13 now. Quick, because we need to be quick. Verse 13. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus said the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Next verse. And Ahab said, by whom? Ahab didn't believe. Ahab didn't believe. He said, who will do it? Is that another person or me? And he said, thus said the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. He said, who shall order the battle? He answered, you. Maybe God is talking to you. And you are looking to yourself. And you're thinking there's nothing new. God is saying he's going to give you the victory. He said he's going to give you the victory. And you're wondering how. He said, I don't know how. Oh, but what will I do? It's you that will use. Just obey the instruction I've been giving you. That's what he's saying. Verse 22. Jump. Verse 22. Thank you. Thank you. You're doing a good job. And the prophet came unto the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. So Ahab won that first battle. Then the prophet came and told him, there's going to be a second battle before it came. Then he came and Ahab defeated him again. Ahab. Next verse, 31. Jump to 31. 3:1. And his servant said unto him, behold now, this is now Ben-Hadad's servants. They came a third time. Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and robe. But this is after Ahab had, they came three times. Ahab defeated them all the three times. The third time, they were on the run when they were saying this. Okay? And let us put rope on our head and go out to the king of Paravetra. He will save our life. And they came, verse 33. So they got up sackcloth and put rope on their head and came unto the king and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad said, I pray thee, let me live. And he, Ahab, said, is he yet alive? Ahab said, is he still alive? He's my brother. Can you imagine? It's a serious thing to be friends with the enemies of the Lord. To put God, to sacrifice God on the altar of politics. On the altar of your well-being. You, the person that, like Samson and Delilah. Someone that is trying to kill you. And you are saying, I love her. And they are trying to kill you. Next verse. Verse 33. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And then they said, thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, go ye, bring him. Ahab said he should bring Ben-Hadad. And then Ben-Hadad came forth, and he caused him to come into his chariot. He didn't tell him to walk. He said, I put him in his chariot. Can you imagine? Verse 34. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore. Are we talking about cities? Or are we talking about God? But you see, because God wasn't important to Ahab. So Ahab didn't know how God thought. So he didn't have wisdom. So he was judging with his eyes. May we not judge with our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking with his natural mind. It was dangerous. See, I will restore the cities. And thou shalt make streets for, I will make streets for thee in Damascus. I will name it after you. Pumping up his ego. Make penny wise and pound foolish. And as my father made it, then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. Ahab actually swore to him and made a covenant with him. And so he made a covenant with him and sent him away. I can imagine, as a human being, Ori Miati Fulo. I mean, you know, you'll be so, see this guy that I had mercy on. He made a covenant with him. You know the implication of that? That means that the two of you can be friends. Two of you can intermarry. That means that you are going to inherit their gods. The whole system is going down the drain because you had victory. May God have mercy on us. We need wisdom. It is critical. So that we don't call our friends our enemies. Samson was loving Delilah. She was an enemy. And was said, I'm in love. And your enemy does not love you. Mercy, Lord. Okay. So, verse 37. And he found another man and said, So the prophet, God now, it was difficult to be a prophet in those days. It was a prophet. God said, go and marry. You go and marry somebody to be able to give a prophetic word. You will marry somebody, have children, then you now carry the child and use the child to make a prophetic word. In this particular case, the prophet got to the prophet and went to meet one man and said, smite me. And the man said, why should I smite you? And he said, because you did not smite me, a lion will come out of the wood and kill you. And a lion came out and killed him. What does the Bible say in Amos? As if a man flew from a lion. And lion came out. When you don't obey instruction, it was prophetic instruction. Of course, we're not saying you should be smiting your brethren. God is not what God is saying. Amen. But what God is saying is that we must obey instruction to the letter. Amen. So after that man died, the prophet now told another man, smite me. That one received instruction. The first one that did not smite him, he died. So I will not do like that. He said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him. So in smiting, he wounded him. The prophet was now ready to give the prophetic word. No. That's a serious word. Next verse. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his head. Next verse. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside, and brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. Next verse. And as thy servant was busy here and there in his heart, amen, he was gone. And so the king said unto me, so shall thy judgment be. Be careful how you judge others. Anyway, it was correct judgment. But be careful and you be merciful. That's why it's by mercy. Be merciful to others. So anyway, he said, you have already decided your judgment is what was that what you have said. As soon as he said that, he hasted away and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned that he was one of the prophets. And next verse. Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to what? He didn't have wisdom. God appointed Ben-Hadad to utter destruction. But because of a lack of wisdom, he made a covenant with him, put him in his chariot, and sent him away. God didn't let it go. He said, therefore, thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. Next verse. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. Now, let's jump. Ahab, this was the sentence on Ahab's head. Why didn't Ahab repent? You know, Ahab repented later. Why didn't he repent at this time? Quick repentance is very important. A heavy word, true, but he could have repented. Not just feeling displeased, but actually say, God, I'm sorry about that. What can I do to remedy? I'm ready to do anything to remedy it. That would have been the solution. You know what he did? He went to verse 21 and saw Naboth's vineyard. And that was the last straw that broke the camel's back. Look at Proverbs 23. Verse 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. He went to Naboth's vineyard. Naboth's father had died. Yes. And enter not into the fields of fatherless. Next verse. For their what? Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. He already had something heavy hanging on his head. He should have been to have repented and gone back. He went forward. Continuing in his lack of wisdom. Not repenting when we sin is a lack of wisdom. It's a lack of wisdom. You need to repent and break off. But it says, break off your sins by righteousness. Because it's taking you somewhere. Sin leads to death. It's taking you somewhere. So if you don't break it off, it's going to end up and you're just like a passenger in the vehicle. Why don't you change the steering and turn it around? Instead, he went and took the vineyard of Naboth. And that was it. The prophetic word that came was that the where the dogs licked his blood, that was the word. And you know, he had the injury in battle. He was preserved. He was preserved until the horse came back into the city. Then when they were washing the chariot, the blood, they were washing the blood. The blood and the water that mixed together, the blood ran down to where the dogs had licked Naboth's blood. It was that same place that the dogs licked his own blood. The word came to pass. What are we saying? We are saying that when we omit to have wisdom, we set ourselves up negatively for the devil to be able to do what he ought not to be able to do. What Pastor Dave was saying the other day, that if you do what you are supposed to do, you will not do what you are not supposed to do. If Ahab had killed Ben-Hadad, he will not covet Naboth's vineyard. He would have collected from Syria. Thank you. The whole country would have been his. May God have mercy on us. Alright? So we see that instruction is the way of life. It's not the way of life. Instruction is our life. Amen? Now, next one. The New Testament is a testament of do's. It's not a testament of don'ts. In the Old Testament, it was thou shalt not. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 4, thou shalt not. In the New Testament, in Matthew 22, verse 30, is the testament of shall. Look at it. Exodus 22. I beg your pardon. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Next verse. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt is do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Next verse. This is the first and the great commandment, or the great instruction. Next verse. And the second is that conduit, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we know in John 13, it's been upgraded. Thou shalt love thy neighbor the way I have loved him. So, love is the end of the commandment. And wisdom is the principal part of love. So we need wisdom to love so that we don't love our enemies and hate our friends. Ahab told Elijah, you are the troubler of Israel. Whereas he made a covenant with Ben-Hadad, who came against Israel 3 times. Can you see the lack of wisdom? May God have mercy. Don't say it's only Ahab. Sometimes the devil makes us call own goal. We saw own goal. And you'll be thinking that you are making progress until that is a blind alley. May God have mercy on us. All right? So we must seek wisdom to love like God does, because wisdom is profitable to direct. Okay? Number 3, when we walk wisely, we enter into the secret place of the Most High. Because wisdom leads us into love. And love is the secret place of the Most High. Bible says, because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you. God will deliver you from all your enemies. They will not be able to touch you in Jesus' name. Now, and that's the word of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 5, verse 15, and verse 30. Quickly. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. And what? Behaved himself how? Wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and was accepted in sight of all the people, and also in sight of all of Saul's servants. Next one. Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself what? Very. The first one was wisely. The next one is what? Very wisely. He was afraid of him. Your enemies will be afraid of you. Not so much the physical ones, the spiritual ones. Amen. Verse 30. Then the priests of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. So his name was much said by. And that's how David got to be the one through whose genealogy Christ came. Walking with God wisely. Very wisely. More wisely. He wasn't satisfied. Don't be satisfied with your current level of wisdom. Walk closer with wisdom. Walk closer with instruction. Acknowledging God more frequently. Obeying God more consistently. That's what God has called us to do. How do we do it? Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Let's read it together. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily. That daily is key. And follow me. That's God talking. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Follow love. You can't follow love except you deny yourself. Time. That a little sleep. A nap here. A nap there. A public holiday here. Public holiday is not bad. But you need to know what the time is for. And use it appropriately rather than spend all the time to indulge on yourself. Very important. That's what we're saying. So you have to find time. Deny yourself some sleep. Deny yourself some legitimate pleasures. To give time to prayer. To give time to the word. To give time to obedience. To give time to do the things that God has been asking you to do. You said there is no time. And then the public holiday now comes. And then you say there's a picnic. Hallelujah. There's a picnic and so I want bread. They're going to be there. Lord, this public holiday. I know we said a little nap here. A little nap there. It's not that you shouldn't go, but you should acknowledge God and find out what the time is. Don't be thinking naturally, because we're living in different times. It's a perilous time. Okay? So it's important. So this is what God wants us to do. But let's start in order of priority. Firstly, we must seek to learn more and more meekness and lowliness of heart. Amen. Mark 11, 28 to 30, where it says, Matthew 11, 20 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what? Learn of me. Now, this is what David had more and more and more of. Because the more of this that you have, the more wisdom you will naturally. With the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 11 verse 2. Okay, so let's leave it here. For I am meek and lowly in heart. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has asked us to learn of him. Okay, and you shall find rest unto your soul. If we're not meek, meek just means teachable. Lowly means that you act on. Meek means that you are open to receive. Lowly means that you act on what you have received. So the acting on it makes us lowly, and the receiving is what is meek. But look at next verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Now that is what he calls his yoke and his burden. Now initially when we start, it may not be like that, you know, but you have to call the things that are not as though they are, and they become, and continue walking in it, so that you actually find it easy, because it gets easier, because there is more mercy and there is more grace. The meekness attracts the mercy of God, the lowliness attracts the grace of God, and that is what enables us to walk with the Holy Spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8 to 9 in the Amplified. Proverbs 16, verse 8 to 9. I beg your pardon. That's a Proverbs. Psalms. I'm looking at Psalms and I'm saying Proverbs. Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9. Amplified. Yes. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Amen. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory, my inner self rejoices. My body too shall rest and confidently dwell in what? Safety. This is where safety is. Safety is firstly a spiritual thing. And then it plays out in the physical. Okay? So quick repentance, quick obedience. That's how you maintain that heart. You know, using the blood of Jesus Christ, we confess our sins, we repent of them. You know, and Bible says that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all right, and purge our conscience from dead works. And look at Jude 20, 21. That's where the mercy comes in. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you're doing the work. This is not being lazy now. This is the work that we're required to do. Amen. The work of the work of faith with power. Next verse. Keep yourselves where? In the love of God. And walk, looking for the mercy of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. So we ask for mercy ever so frequently as we obey the instructions we have been asked to do. It's very important. It's the mercy that brings the fellowship. It's the mercy that brings that, no, that the it brings life. That just makes it easier to obey those instructions at the frequency at which we are supposed to be obeying them. Amen. All right. So it's by the mercy of God that we now obey the story. What are the instructions? We pray daily to choose the fear of God. We pray daily for wisdom and revelation. We pray daily for the fruit of the Spirit. And we do it at least four times a day. We do it by confessing, you know, by confessing it in the understanding, then praying in the Spirit. And we do it at least four times a day, at every opportunity and in every temptation. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Alright, so that's how. And then of course, we pray with travail. And we join Good Morning Jesus prayers for that. Because it's collective prayer. You know, it's a family praying together. It's an army praying together. You know, and we, you know, we add the weekly prayers to it. Be diligent in Bible reading. Diligent in Bible study. And remember, wisdom is chief, is the first in the ways of God. Look at Job chapter 40. That's where, no, you can't get this kind of wisdom without travail. Job 40, verse 16. Lo, his strength is where? In his loins. And his force is in the navel of his belly. Next verse. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinew of his stones are wrapped together. Next verse. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. Next. He's talking about person. He is chief of the ways of God. Wisdom is the chief. There is wisdom. There is understanding. There is knowledge. Wisdom is chief. He has made him, he that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. What is God saying? God is saying that to get the kind of wisdom to walk wisely in this day, you must learn to pray with travail. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspout. But as we do these things, as we pray with travail, as we by the mercy of God keep the commandments, you know, like travail is like standing fast in Jordan to die. Amen. Then you stand fast and you stand firm. Like Pastor Dave preached some weeks ago. Stand fast and stand firm, you know, all through the day by walking in spirit by the mercy of God and acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways through fellowship with Him. You will navigate the different traps that Satan has set. And like David did, you will behave yourself more wisely and dwell in safety in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. Mercy to walk wisely with God. Remember, it's not of him that willeth, it's of God that shows mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Talk to God in our hearts and be proactive. Ask for wisdom at the level that you are now in different areas, in your home, with your children, with your work, with God and the things of God. Is there a better way of doing what you're doing? Balancing different aspects of our lives. Must be praying and acknowledging. And His mercy will see us through. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your blood that's made a way to come into your presence to glorify your name. Lord, I stand amazed at what we see. Your promises are ageless. Your love will never end. For a thousand generations, your covenant will stand. Showing grace and mercy to those who fear your name. Establishing your righteousness and praise. Great is your mercy toward us. Your loving kindness toward us. Your tender mercies we see day after day. Forever faithful to us. You're always providing for us. Oh, great is your mercy toward us. And great is your grace. Great is your mercy, oh Lord, your loving kindness, oh, and your tender mercy we see day after day, forever.
Great is your grace.
Let's put our hands on our hearts as we lift up one hand unto the Lord. All of us together, myself included. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word that has come to us today. We appreciate you for your mercy that has been made available to us to deliver us from destruction, to help us not to faint, to enable us to be faithful, and to cause us to triumph. Father, our eyes are on you, because your mercy will enable us to triumph unto the very end. And so we look to you for fresh mercy, to enable us at our respective levels of walking with you. Help us, Lord, to put on strength, to enable us to be diligent in our prayer life, to crucify the flesh by taking up our cross on a daily basis, crucifying the sin nature that is in the flesh, denying ourselves in order to walk in your wisdom and in your love. Help me, Lord, to walk in wisdom more and more, to acknowledge you in all of my ways, so you will direct all of my steps and you will keep me in safety, all of my loved ones in safety. Have mercy on me to be faithful and to triumph in walking with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's pray in the spirit. Rapa kaso senga de bamas. Jenge de bebedi koto ba ye. Rapa pa kotenga de bebedi koko de bebedi katantos. Lebe bebe bebe katamasatoja. Jekantoa. Rapa babas. Jekamos. Late koya. Yonan. Remo baba banyoa. Robobo. Robobo katomasatoba. Jeke le bebedi koko de bebe. Mapa payo. Rabo kote. Ringa de bebedi kanama. Rapa baba kose. Basatote kato baya yewarina ma pepeko tuamai robobo benge de viberia robobo kose masatas menge de viberi kenamai. Now that the word of God has gone forth, Bible says that he sent forth his word. Amen. And you know, he confirmed his words, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders under the covering of our fathers. I want you to hold fast to the word of God that has gone forth. That word, God will confirm whatever you need by faith. Tap into it. Lord, have mercy on me and receive it. Healing in your body, peace in your mind, strength in your mortal flesh, health for your members, provision. Material, human, financial. Our God is more than enough. Great is his mercy towards us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth. According to the word that has gone forth, Father, we declare that all needs are met under the covering of our fathers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we declare that Lord, healing power flows into everybody that needs healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray and say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood.